Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, your intelligence officer on KVOI.com, AM 1030, The Voice. What the deep state and fake news is doing to Trump, they did to me. But they're not really after me or him. They're after you. I was the DEA special agent that exposed DEA boss Leonhardt running drugs into the U.S. via the Sinaloan cartel. So she targeted me, but Leonhardt resigned to disgrace for DEA agents having sex with cartel prostitutes. Holder targeted my Christian faith too, but resigned to disgrace for contempt of Congress. Mike Comey was a corrupt DEA agent named Rusty McMillan who faked an investigation and leaked a phony document spread by a black contact-wearing troll named Jared Armitage, an anarchist named Donald Riefler, and Michael Pierce, who, like FBI agent Peter Stroke, was having an affair. But like Trump, after all their lies and schemes, I was never convicted of anything. Until Trump, nobody took on the deep state. Until me, nobody exposed him. Now together, we are restoring our republic. So get your car crisis ready at Perfection Auto Works. Support the Prather Point at GoGetFunding.com. Read Border Truth in my ebook Chase on Amazon. Break the cycle of fatherlessness. Get my book on Amazon. Boys are born, men are trained. Defend yourself at my dojo, Bujinkan USA, and my handgun class Wednesdays at WarriorSchool.com. So it's a big day today, so all us veterans should be celebrating because our wonderful military has come through again and has killed al-Baghdadi. So that just came out, and that is excellent, and it looks like it was a combination of Combat Applications Group, Crisis Action Group, CAG, civilians know them as Delta Force, and SF, you call them Green Berets, Rangers, and other guys. In northern Syria. So we should all be having a drink. And President Trump announced the killing of ISIS leader al-Baghdadi just this morning, and it happened overnight. He died like a dog and he died like a coward, Trump said. And there are those who are getting upset that Trump said that. And including, I guess, that would be the Washington Post, whose initial obituary was Islamic State's terrorist-in-chief dies at 48, which is kind of slow. But then they had changed it to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. So you should be infuriated with that, because I am. So this guy, later on down in the article, they say, yeah, and by the way, he was a serial rapist and murderer and kept personal sex slaves, but he was an austere religious scholar. So have a drink and celebrate. This is like the killing of bin Laden, except it's special forces and CAG, so there won't be books and hair gel and everything else. Sorry, SEAL friends, I gotta say that. That's just a friendly jab coming out of there. But you gotta understand how important this is, okay? This is where Trump is getting criticized for pulling out of Syria, which he didn't do. We only had 28 Green Berets in there. And he's still going to stick around for the oil fields. But at the same time, while the Dems are holding a mock impeachment hearing, whatever the heck it is, Trump was keeping the secret that this raid was happening. And I saw Fox News, Chris Wallace saying, the president didn't tell Pelosi. Doesn't he trust Pelosi? And the vice president was kind of like jumping around it. But no, we don't trust Pelosi? No. Why would we trust Pelosi? And I've been telling you about Pelosi's family members with the cargo ship with the drugs, and I've got more to tell you about that. But with the leaks coming out of the intelligence community, the deep state and the Department of Justice and the CIA and the FBI and the State Department plotting against Trump, I'm so glad he didn't, because he would have put my brethren in harm's way. So yeah, no, he didn't tell Pelosi. And, you know, if I wasn't on the air, I'd probably say something else. But I won't, because I'm a gentleman, especially on the air. And by the way, I just wanted to say another gentleman is my first and most loyal sponsor, Mike Emery, has been suggesting it for a while that I go on to John C. Scott's show. And so yesterday I got a chance to do that. And when I was coming into the station, switching from another channel to this station, John C. had me for breakfast, was very nice. We are very different in our views, without a doubt, but he is a true gentleman. He treated me well. He's always treated me well. He had me on yesterday. We had a very civil, respectable conversation between Americans, because we're both Americans, because I'm on Team America. I'm not on Team Republican or Team Democrat. I'm on Team America, and we should all be on friggin' Team America. And so I want to say, John, if you're, and he says I'm doing a good job, and that's big praise coming from a guy who's got the longest running political commentary show, and I really appreciate that. And I said that I'm honored and pleased to be here, and he let me speak, and I did not pull any punches. And that's the way it should be between Americans, by the way. We shouldn't be hating each other. That's all a false controversy. But anyway, it was a great idea by Mike Emery. I think we're going to do it again. It was a great time with John C. And it was cool because, you know, he's the oldest political show running. I'm the newest. He's on the left. I'm on the right. We're both on Team America. And we had some stuff to in common, like talking about Ed Ackerley as a good future. But that he was a true gentleman. I really appreciate that. And I also really appreciate Mike Emery for suggesting that. And just like I got John Couch here working through bugs in the control room, this is all a team effort. Okay. Yeah, I'm the voice, but you know, I got Kirk calling in stuff. I got other people calling in stuff. I got guys over in the sandbox bringing me stuff that I'm going to talk about. I got guys and gals listening in the intelligence. So it's all a team effort for us to restore our republic. And that's how we should look at it. And I'm actually, for one, very optimistic about being on John's show. And hopefully I'll have him on mine. I don't have as much time as him. And I'm like today, I got too much stuff to get through. But, you know, there's a government guy back in right, Pat. You know who you are. D saying, there, I get my news from you now. And you're a veteran and a patriot as well. But I thought that was really significant. That's the beginning of something very significant, because the Democratic Party, and I said this to John, is falling apart. It's failing, which is too bad, because it's not the party of JFK anymore. So that was really cool to do that. And I think he had Sean on too, my friend Sean. Sean, thanks for the barbecue again. And so it's a team effort between all of us, and we're all equal partners on the team, all doing our jobs. And that's how we should look at it, not hating each other. But anyway, coming up on my first break already, and so I will come back to al-Baghdadi, and I will blow to smithereens the obituary that he was an austere Islamic scholar right after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, celebrating the death of al-Baghdadi by U.S. military. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, the Perfection All Work Studios, 520-790-2040, KVOI, AM1030.com, back with you. Yeah, so the Washington Post was saying al-Baghdadi was an austere religious scholar at the helm of Islamic State, dies at 48, makes it sound like he dies in bed, as opposed to being chased through tunnels by CAG and Green Berets and then igniting a suicide vest and killing some kids like a coward at the same time, at the coward and the monster that he was. I'll be having a drink to this, to celebrating my military brethren betters after this, and you all should too. And probably no one else will say it like me, but I'm retired military, and I have gotten to be trained by and serve with some of the best in the world, Special Operations Command. And these are the guys who were in northern Syria. And so there's a lot of significance to this. While everybody's saying, oh, we're abandoning our allies and it's terrible. And well, Trump is protecting us. He's not going to sacrifice one soldier, airman, marine, sailor's life that he doesn't have to. And by the way, nobody KIA on this. I don't think you have anybody wounded on this either. But anyway, this guy was very suspicious. You had to strip down to go see him. You had to remove your wristwatch. You'd be blindfolded. The meetings would last about 15 to 30 minutes. They were his visitors were required to stand under armed guard for hours after his exit, and then they were blindfolded and driven. Some of this stuff is tradecraft, we all do. He was very, very paranoid, as he was wont to do, because we have been killing off ISIS, and Trump has killed off ISIS. And yeah, there's still ISIS guys around, really, Philippines and Horn of Africa. SOCOM's already there hunting those guys too. But they have no more terrain in ISIS territory, which, remember, Iraq, Syria, that's where the term, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, came from. They got into Nineveh, the plains of Nineveh, the biblical cities where they turned churches. Remember, the Syriac church is the original Christian church because Yeshua spoke Galilean Aramaic, Peshittic Syriac Aramaic. And while, you know, I'd have to add up the numbers, he's responsible for many terrorist attacks in the U.S. He may have outstripped bin Laden with 9/11. I'm not sure who did more, but there were domestic attacks because he brainwashed and propagandized folks into local attacks in America. And I'm not going to list those. I don't have those handy. But he also meted out some really medieval punishments. Now, some of them, you know, are in Islamic surahs in the Quranic scriptures. But he also offended Muslims worldwide by meting out punishments on film that were not, such as you may remember the Jordanian pilot was burned alive in a scene filmed by overhead drones. There were men accused of being spies drowned in underwater cages and using underwater cameras to capture their last breaths. Others were crushed under the treads of a tank or strung up by their feet inside a slaughterhouse and butchered like animals. This is what the Washington Post called an austere Islamic scholar. And, I mean, they had garbage services, they had DMVs, they had coinage in the Islamic State, and they were really trying to bring back the caliphate. And so, you know, I'm a Christian, but I study Judaism. I know a little bit about Islam, not a lot. But one important point to this was that Baghdadi came from a tribe and had a hereditary connection to the Quraysh, which is a prerequisite for becoming the actual caliph. And the ISIS had said they were the caliphate, the reestablishment of the state. And he traces his ancestry back to the Badri community in Al-Jalam to Fatima, the youngest daughter of the prophet. So for Muslims, even though he wasn't following the faith, and doing terrible things, he did have a lot of legitimacy. He did have a lot of guidance. He is not going to be easily replaced, just like taking off bin Laden, probably even more than taking off bin Laden. Someone is not going to jump in and replace him easily. This is a big deal. You're not going to hear about it in the propaganda press because it doesn't fit the separation that everybody wants us to have between Democratic and Republican, black and white, red and yellow, all of that. But this is a huge deal. And it's a huge deal because Trump did this and nothing leaked. You know, I hadn't heard anything about this. Now, part of this, they're saying it was CAG, Delta, but a lot of those guys were already over there in place because they were doing the rescue I talked about last week. They're guarding the oil fields, which is real interesting too, that we're going to guard the oil fields for the Kurds so ISIS or their supporters don't get the money and the Kurds keep the money. And it's kind of, it's starting to look like an elegant solution because that place is never one way or the other. We're used to World War One, somebody wins. World War Two, somebody wins. No, it gets like, it's not like that over there. I've had it described by a SEAL team commander as good guys, good-bad guys, bad-good guys, and bad-bad guys. And it changes all the time between the alliances changing. And so there, it looks like there's a nice tension happening here where we're not going to continue to fight over that piece of bloodstained sand like Trump said, but we are going to make sure that the Kurds keep their oil fields, which is they keep their money. And remember, the Kurds are in Iraq, Syria, Iran, they're spread out. And remember those states of Iran and Iraq, those were artificially created states after the world wars by Europeans. They are not tribal boundaries, correct. But I want to get back to talking about this austere Islamic scholar BS. There was a nice young lady, 26-year-old American aid worker. So rather than talk about all the terrorist incidents, I'm just going to talk about one. And this is a little rough. So if the kids are listening, then they probably don't need to be listening. But Kayla Mueller, who went in for a Doctors Without Borders visit, and I've run across Doctors Without Borders when I was down working Central and South America. Good folk. Was kidnapped from her boyfriend over there, and she was kidnapped by al-Baghdadi, and he tortured her and raped her. He ripped out her fingernails. He beat her unmercifully, raped her repeatedly. He said he was going to marry her by force, although there was never any ceremony. How about that? A religious hypocrite. Not that there aren't plenty of Christian and Jewish religious hypocrites too, but this is extreme, and took her as a secret bride because his other wives were very jealous, his other Muslim wives, and they picked on the kids of the non-forced, and so the non-forced captives, and that whole gets into a whole nother thing, and I'm not going to get on this show. I've talked about it on other networks at times about the contradictions in the Quran and where that comes from, and you know, if you're interested in that, we don't really talk about that, but, you know, ChristChaplaincy.com. I did the sermon this morning, mostly talking about Isaiah 53, how 700 years before Yeshua, Isaiah predicted that, and he will be pierced for our transgressions. It's pretty hard to not see Yeshua as the Messiah if you read Isaiah 53. For our SOCOM guys, it's usually Isaiah 6:8, send me, who will go, send me. That's a typical one for Spec Ops Tier 1 guys, but Isaiah 53, really hard to avoid reaching the conclusion that this is the Messiah. And even going into Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, Elohim, Elohim, Eli, Eli is an Aramaic, is my God, why have you saved me? Or typical, the mistranslation is, why have you forsaken me? That's out of, I'm not quoting Yeshua now, I'm quoting Psalm 22, Old Testament. So all this ties in greatly. But anyway, Kayla Mueller, she was almost rescued by another special forces operation. We missed her about by a day, and then she was probably mercifully killed in an airstrike when we killed al-Baghdadi's deputy, Abu Sayyaf, a couple of years back. But, you know, between when he wasn't raping her and pulling her fingernails out, he was teaching her about the Quran while he hid her from his other wives. You know, so yeah, I despise the guy. I despise. I have a healthy respect for my enemies, but I am very clear who my enemies are, and I am celebrating the death of a monster by my brethren heroes in the military and Americans. If you're on Team America, you should be too. Period. There's no doubt about this, okay? He's like Hitler. He's a monster. He's an adversarial puppet, finger puppet of HaShatan. That's it. There's no middle ground here. Pick a side. So anyway, I think I already mentioned she was probably, she was kidnapped when she went to a Doctors Without Borders visit. This came out from another European rape victim who was supposedly also married, and she was the one telling about the raping and the beatings with sticks and cables and the fingernails being pulled out because she helped her. She said that the average age of these girls was 15. You know, I can go into a lot worse than this. I've had to see, when I was in the intelligence community, the videos of little girls being stoned and had concrete blocks dropped on their heads and stuff. But, don't listen to the propaganda press because in the upside down world of American propaganda press, the good guys are the bad guys and the bad guys are the good guys. Let there be no doubt in your mind today that the good guys, us, the American military, the best part of the United States government, did a great thing today. And it was under Trump. And just like when Obama got bin Laden, and I congratulated them on that as well. And he did that because to make sure they had gotten him. If you dropped a bomb, wouldn't be sure. And I think Trump may have taken a page from Obama this to make sure we got him. But he did die like a dog and a coward, running away and blowing up a suicide vest and taking some children. From an Apache warrior standpoint, endangering the children is the worst thing that can ever happen. That's what we are sworn to protect, is the children. Nothing must ever be done to harm the children. Everything is born of women. So that is completely anti-ethical to my version of warriorship. And I just got that published in Sofex. Shout out to my friend Sam, who runs Sofex, who published Sofex, Special Operations Forces cross section. If you vets haven't been there, go to Sam's site. It's a cool site. And I got an article on there about defining what a warrior is, based off of a traditional Native and especially Apache warrior terms. So there's a lot more to this, too. And now I've got to turn to somebody who's deployed right now and over there. Thanks for this. But we often talk about fentanyl coming out of China, but fentanyl is Syria's export of choice. It's one of the sought-after narcotics in the Middle East. Contains caffeine, quinine, a painkiller. It's really popular with ISIS fighters. Just like with the Somali guys, they were on cot, chewing cot all the time. And in 2016, the International Narcotics Control Board flagged concerns after a serious import of pseudoephedrine. And these have been smuggled across the Syrian borders, and it gives a really fast high. And it was controlled through ports that are controlled by the Bashar Assad government. And there's intelligence saying the Syrian regime was turning to fentanyl sales internationally to bolster its treasury. So not only are the ISIS guys terrorists, monsters, killing women and children and torturing them, they're also narcos, drug dealers. Really interesting, isn't it? It's funny because I've seen the corridors of Pazas on the Mexican border where ISIS is coming across and the cartels are coming across. And it looks like these guys are working together. And remember, I know something about this. I was double credentialed with the DEA and with the DIA simultaneously and worked overseas. And what's really interesting about that is that who just went over there? Oh, yeah. Nancy Pelosi just went over there, didn't she? And remember that the FBI and DEA have shared frustrations about fighting the factions in the State Department to clamp down on millions of pills being manufactured in Syrian labs, and that in June, the FBI tipped off Greek authorities about a Captagon shipment the U.S. feds tracked out of a port, Latakia, in Syria. They intercepted a shipment of these Captagon pills from Syria, the street value of about $700 million. And so remember, I was just talking about McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, her dad's connected with the J.P. Morgan ship, and Pelosi's husband connected with the ship. And so it looks like, along with other scandals Trump is wrapping up, is he is targeting politicians that have lots of targets to drug running and terrorism through Syria. Kind of interesting. One FBI source said this isn't about the Kurds. It's about the cash. And I have more about that. And an old fellow veteran who also got to serve in SF with me right after this break. This is Jeff Prather, right back with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Stay on the line, Kirk. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, 520-790-2040. Talking about SOCOM killing al-Baghdadi and how Pelosi and company just made a surprise trip over to Afghanistan and Jordan in exactly the same area, which happens to be a major trafficking route for the Syrian drug distribution to Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Iraq. Oh, yeah, for Syria's meth and methamphetamine pills, along with all the cash that Obama sent to Iran. But I digress, because so that was from Andrew over there in the sandbox. Thanks, Andrew, for that. You're doing a double duty service over there, sending me that as well. But I've got my old friend, and we were commissioned together back in the 80s, Kirk Wald. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff, I appreciate it. You're on fire today. I love it. Thank you for saluting our brothers in arms. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you were with SF in the National Guard, right?
Yep. Army Reserve. A good bunch of guys, a lot of Vietnam veterans, wonderful people. Hey, I was wondering if I could tie a couple of things together with this al-Baghdadi.
Please do. Like those exciting photos you just sent me of McCain standing with al-Baghdadi. Yeah.
Exactly. And that, I think, I can't prove it, but it seems like it's tied to the arms funneling through Libya, which ties in Benghazi, but the funneling of arms to the Syrian rebels who ended up turning them back on us and murdering countless people through the Islamic State. That was under the Obama administration.
The last time I was on Laura Ingraham's show, I said Trump finally ends Fast and Furious, and I tied Fast and Furious to Benghazi to Syria because they were all international covert gun running operations. So I think you're exactly right with that connection. But it wasn't just one photo of McCain with al-Baghdadi, was it?
No, there were a bunch, so it's not like a Photoshop. Those have been widely circulated.
It wasn't two photos, and every photo is a different occasion, right?
Correct.
It wasn't three, right?
So it was number of times he met.
It was like a half a dozen times meeting with al-Baghdadi. Of course, you know, we did do some training of early ISIS on, but people were saying that we are supporting the Syrian liberation forces who are pro-U.S. Do you remember how many guys we got for our $500 million?
It was less than 50, less than a platoon.
It was five.
Oh, really?
It was a squad.
Less than a platoon. Half a squad, a fire team.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yes, you're exactly right, and I think that's important because of the great state of Arizona. I have seen, I couldn't find the photos in time for you, but the Lindsey Graham was also in those photos. So I think it was more than them just being naive. I think there's more afoot, but I can't really put my finger on it. It's just one of those interesting data points that I hope your listeners can start weaving together.
And it's really interesting that Pelosi and company were just over there in Afghanistan, just like Obama went over to Italy a while back, too, right before Barr did. Isn't that interesting? It's coincidental, isn't it?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Don't hear any of that on Fox or CNN.
And you don't hear that Adam Schiff, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, the Gang of Eight, who's supposed to be informed on all intelligence matters, he's probably a worse leaker than Pelosi. So the fact that he was not informed ahead of time was not some damning political game that Trump was playing. It was protecting the lives of our soldiers in the field, because Trump knew Schiff is a leaker. And to me, that's playing for the other team. There's just no two ways about it.
And the other thing with Flynn is that, as we both know, he helped revolutionize the intelligence process through the JSOC, did their own intelligence work. I had a small part in that when I was at DIA. I put Eric, Oh my gosh, can't think of his name. He wrote a book, Blacklist Number One. He's the guy who went with JSOC and found Saddam. And I'm not a hero, but I know heroes. He was my NCO. Wrote a book on that. I got a copy of that. But where JSOC really started developing their own intel, and there's some other people listening, I'm not going to mention who, but that really endangered the CIA and the State Department, because there was no point, and the FBI, HRT or whatever overseas, because there was no real point to them. They didn't do anything. That's, in fact, a long time ago in Eagle Claw, when we were going to rescue the Iranian hostages, a certain unit was developed to develop intelligence because the CIA couldn't give us the intelligence we needed. And I have rather close experience with that.
And Flynn earned some very powerful enemies, and because he showed how useless they were. And not only that, but Flynn's a true patriot, and he loves this country. He was part of exposing what Brennan and Clapper were doing. So now it's just been found out that, I'm sorry, I think this is tied in. I don't mean to go far afield, but in the framing of Flynn, General Flynn, Lisa Page has now admitted she doctored the 302 forms. And maybe you could explain to your audience 302s and why the FBI uses written records and not audio recordings so they can fudge them later if needed. I'll leave that. You know that better than I.
I'm laughing because I'm holding up the form that says, Flynn case update, Lisa Page caught editing FBI 302s to John. And he's laughing in the other room. So we didn't plan this, folks. We're just scarily too much alike.
Yes. Yeah.
But we mean well, right?
Right, absolutely.
We do mean well. But that is really good. Oh, yes, Eric Maddox. Eric Maddox, folks. Thanks, honey. My wonderful wife is helping my old guy memory. Eric Maddox is my NCO who found Saddam and wrote Blacklist Number One. You can get his book. I got an autographed copy because I knew him. And they put trained interrogators on the tails of Tier 1 raid teams. And so that was really cool. Eric Maddox, yes, that's right. And so in the other book about that, I don't know if you've read this one, Kirk, but this is what I'm telling. I had a cool conversation last week with retired General Craig Nixon on a business matter, and he was a JSOC general, and we were talking about the Chinese concept of unrestricted warfare, which is what fentanyl is, which is what stealing all our manufacturing is, which is what Netflix is. It's unrestricted warfare on all fronts, because they know they can't, because nobody can beat us straight on. That's what they learned when they watched Iraq. So
that's right. I think U.S. personnel targeting they and their families in the U.S. is also part of the Chinese unrestricted warfare plan. That's why these special operators are so secretive, because they're trying to protect their families on the home front.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, back in my day, when I went to airborne school, they pulled us all out of the photos. And back in the Bujinkan days, I wasn't in any of the early photos either. And now that I'm out, I'm on the air. But that is really good. That's a big connection. But the other book there is, I was going to say, is The Secret History of JSOC by Naylor. Naylor also wrote Not a Good Day to Die. That's the Tucker Gar debacle, where, six doesn't do well, and the CCT wins, earns two Medal of Honors posthumously there, which is now the first Medal of Honor ever recorded. Really cool, cool stuff. Have you read that one, Secret History of JSOC?
Yes, I have. For your audience, you may want to explain this, Team 6 and CCT, the Air Force Combat Controller.
Yeah, Combat Controller. It's the first Medal of Honor ever recorded. It's on FLIR, forward-looking infrared radar. You can look it up on YouTube. Bring your Kleenexes. He earns his second Medal of Honor after he's dead. He comes back to life, saves his teammates again. It is friggin' amazing. Aren't we honored to have served with the kind of guys we have served with? It's just incredible.
Amazing. You get winners, I think, in Band of Brothers. Said I wasn't a hero, but I served with the company of them. And what a humble, humble way to describe the great men we're privileged to serve with.
Just like you, getting shot point blank with a .45 and saying nobody's dying here when you're.
more tough, accidental, tough guy. But at least I know I'm calm under fire.
and comical, too. Okay, brother. Well, thanks for the call, and I will after this break. But that's really good insights. And so I want to point out, you know, so thanks, Kirk.
You're welcome.
And I want to point out that, I'm getting multiple sources here, and they're, not all of them are military, but at least two, and one's over there in the sandbox right now, not revealing classified, just connecting dots on our politicians. And that's why the military intelligence is the QAnon patriots are restoring our republic. But I will segue into Lisa Page and Stroke changing the 302s right after this break. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, right back with you for the final segment. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, Perfection Auto Works Studios, right back with you, 520-790-2040. John Couch doing a great job in there, exercising the technical demons from the equipment. That happens all the time when I'm doing exorcism. I'm serious. Yeah, so, and before I get into the Lisa Page, I just want to say that Santiago, there's a million people taking part in the biggest march in Chile. So adding to the global protest for freedom and nationalism, which is not racism, as Netflix says. And I worked Santiago in Chile, my favorite country in South America to work. It's been in Chile many times. And so they are rising up too. The whole world is rising up to get back to freeing their people. But I digress. And of course, France and China, Hong Kong still going on. But yeah, so a 302 is an FBI report, just like with me, it was a DEA 6. And Flynn finally fired his lawyers because they were bad. I've often suspected my attorney was bad when I was taking on DEA, even though I was never even charged. But I had a whole bunch of lawyers, and I now think that they were working against me. And Flynn thinks his lawyers were working against him. So what's interesting now is he has a real lawyer, and it appears that the government was hiding text messages and not releasing everything. You're supposed to do disclosure to the defense, and they had not done this. But on 2/10/17, the text messages Stroke to Page. Remember, Peter Stroke was the head of the counterintelligence for the FBI. Page was his lover. He was married, and he was texting this, so he knows nothing about counterintelligence. I made your edits. That means that he incorporated into the 302, which is supposed to be done 5 days after the interview, and was not. They're doing what they call a deliberative process, which is short for we're going to lie about it. And I know that because they've done that on my stuff too. They lied about it, and I have affidavits, which if I ever went to court, I could pull out for my supervisors of how they did that. But I'm not going to fight them on their ground. But it's also clear that the Comey, the FBI's director, made a calculated decision contrary to FBI DOJ protocol not to notify the White House counsel that the FBI wanted to speak with a key member of the president's staff. Remember, they said to Flynn, you don't need a lawyer. Just come on over. It'll be informal. And that they planned all this. And then they had the edits from Page, the DOJ attorney. And then we have a source saying that James Clapper, he was the head of the CIA, told a Washington Post reporter to take the kill shot on Flynn. So this is all really falling apart before their very eyes because they think they're smarter than us, and they are not. And at the same moment where they're trying to destroy Trump through false impeachment while he's killing the most infamous murderer after bin Laden, al-Baghdadi. And it looks like we are standing strong with the Kurds. But anyway, I hope that's all clear. I know I'm using a lot of abbreviations. I'm getting texts saying, stop using so many acronyms and nicknames. And my wife is always telling me to slow down. But I want to make sure I get all this stuff out. Renee, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting. Sorry I took so long.
Oh, I got to listen to you the whole time. It was fabulous. Thank you for taking my call. I just what you just said about being, I don't know, I'm sorry, but don't you just love being underestimated? It's so useful. But
it is. It really is. That's what I think the orange man bad thing is I think the hair and the orange is all an act. I totally think so.
Yeah. And then they can't beat us from the front. We allow the Dems to take over. And then I think they'll just be handed over on a platter. And I just wanted I have it on good authority that ISIS members use methamphetamine. So while they're engaging in their torture and their first activities, they're high on meth, which makes them extremely extra psycho. And
yeah, that's totally true. That's totally documented. Yep.
And then I have an author to recommend. He has done extensive study on the Quran, and he comes with a good. I'm so excited, I can't even talk.
Okay, breathe.
I have it on really good authority that he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he's proven himself right over and over again in my book. His name is Joel Rosenberg. He wrote the Tehran Initiative and the 12th Imam. And it's very important that we all know what these fanatical Muslims really believe. And, I'm so grateful for your show. And the cartel... I knew people who were watching the borders down there, and the cartels and the Islamists have goals that are in alignment, and so of course they're working together. And prayer rugs are found down on the border, notebooks have been found, and all kinds of stuff. So, and I always wanted to know just one last thing. I just always wondered why McCain was getting so much money from the Middle East.
Yeah, that is so true. And you should, you know what, you'll really enjoy it. Look up my book, Chase. It's my ebook on any ebook platform. And it says Fact-Based Fiction by a former DEA agent. It talks about terrorism coming across with the cartels and stuff that's come true a lot. And you should all, it's a nice little read. Usually I'm talking about my paper book on Amazon Initiation, which was out of Blue Dolphin Publishing, but they closed after 40 years, and I'm still publishing it on Amazon in paper. But my ebook, Chase, which was going to be a movie with Val Kilmer and Wes Studi, filmed here in Arizona. But yeah, that's all true. Everything you were saying has been verified. And a lot of that I've verified myself. Anyway, thanks for the call. And Mark, welcome to the show.
Another fantastic show that cannot be beat. And thank you for that. And is there a way to get, I'm assuming there's connections between Pencil Neck, Shifty Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, and al-Baghdadi. And I don't know what you think about that, but, Pelosi making that trip out there and getting these people wrapped up in some kind of investigation that sucks away their wealth and hopefully tries them for treason and to execution is what I would like to see done. What do you think of any of that coming to light or happening with this al-Baghdadi guy?
Well, the first thing I would say with the treason thing is treason is very difficult to prove the way it's written. Something that Trump said really interestingly in the press conference was we were on site for 2 hours. He's talking about SOCOM, and we got lots and lots of good intel. And that sounds very, very interesting. Because we, like Kirk said, we have multiple photos of him with al-Baghdadi. We know that Hillary was running guns to the Syrians. Basically Obama developed, ISIS, and the Egyptians considered him a terrorist for doing that. So, you know, besides all the other stuff that they're worried about, I think they're even more worried about that. That's what Kirk and I were referring to when we said, just like Obama ran over to Italy right before Barr came because of Mifsud, now Pelosi just ran over to Afghanistan right before this happened. And then Chris Wallace today was saying, well, you didn't tell Pelosi about the raid. No, didn't tell her about the raid at all. So, and plus they keep all Schiff, who was the NYPD counterterrorism guy who used to work for Trump. I think he's behind all of these investigations of all these pedo crimes coming up. And so the deep state is being disintegrated. The DOJ, you know, we're going to see charges. I mean, I haven't even gotten to that. But it's almost a fait accompli that Clapper and Brennan and Comey, McCabe, or looks like Baker, the attorney for the FBI, has flipped. That's probably what Rosenstein did as well, flipped, because he was up there on with Barr. And these guys are really worried. And that's why they're trying to do the whole intelligence thing. And that's real interesting to me, because intelligence is sources and methods and best guesses. And law enforcement, what Barr and Durham are doing, is facts and evidence, and it's all going to come out in court. And I know, because I worked both of those things. And I remember when the intelligence community was trying to do a lot of counter drug stuff, and it doesn't work well, because eventually you got to go to court and you got to give up. You know, when I was DEA Special Operations Snowcap, and I was still in the military, and I was chopped to DIA and working in embassies, I saw that conflict between the intelligence community and the law enforcement community there. And then the DOD eventually got out of counter drug, even though they're facing, like Renee was saying, that ISIS, the terrorist, and the cartels are working together, and it's a toss up of who is worth. But the good thing is, we are continuing to win. It's great that after many years, I get to say, hey, we're winning again, no matter what the propaganda press is saying. We are winning again. And that's because of everyone coming out with the truth. And that's because of our core ethics. I didn't get a chance to say this on the John C. Scott, but our core ethics of Judeo-Christian native spiritual beliefs. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to go have a drink and salute all my military brethren for slaying a dragon. You should too, because we should all be on Team America. Anyway, this is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Thanks for listening. Be back with you next week.